2022. Kristen, we have, would you call the roll, please?
Montgomery.
Here.
Donnelly Cullen.
Here.
Unger.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Fury.
Here.
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 Clark.
Here.
Barco.
Here.
Chair Alton.
Here. Thank you. The first item on the agenda is for us to elect a chair of the committee. Mr. Unger?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Mr. Freeman.
Commissioner Unger nominates Commissioner Freeman to be the chair of the committee.
Second.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any other nominations? If not, the nominations will be closed. Commissioner Unger has moved a unanimous ballot. Any objection? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion's carried. Commissioner Freeman, I'm going to pass the gavel to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Please proceed.
Well, appreciate you all allowing me to help try to steer this ship a little bit. We got a long ways to go in a short amount of time, and so I took some liberties of inviting some of our resources to be here today, and appreciate the city staff helping with that, too. I'd like to work first through kind of our three different guests. One would be Joe Mansky, as a former Ramsey County election official and person who drove that bus for Ramsey County previously, and he's been gracious enough to offer to give us some of that historical context for the work on redistricting. Also have here today David Triplett from Ramsey County Elections Now to talk with us a little bit more about how we can integrate the technical assistance they're going to provide and the work that we're doing. And then third, we've got both online Mr. Heller and here in person Mr. McClung from Park Street to help us as our consultant going forward. I think we did print out copies of the Park Street proposal that you have in front of you, and we'll kind of talk about what do we need to do along their proposed timelines and aligning that with our discussions and kind of see if we can get a group work plan going for how we go forward with their districting. So if there aren't any objections to that as kind of the sub-agenda within our redistricting award councils, I'd invite Mr. Mansky to join us and again, greatly appreciate you sharing some of your experience and knowledge and perspective from navigating these waters in previous decades, I guess is the correct term.
Mr. Chairman and commissioners, I guess, are we okay? I suppose we're taping this, so I said it for the tape. My name is Joe Mansky. I'm no longer driving the bus, and happily not driving the bus, I guess. But I guess for the record, and I have to put my reading glasses on because I'm old now, you know. I guess for the record, I performed this function for the Charter Commission the last two times around. That'd be 2002 and 2012. So try to excavate from my memory kind of what we were doing there. And so let me just kind of walk you through basically what our process has been in the past. So for those of you who are new to this, what exactly is redistricting? And very simply, it's just a process for creating equal representation for the voters here in St. Paul on the city council. And the task is that simple. It's to create seven districts that have essentially the same population. And we do that by using the most recent census, the census that was taken on April 1st, 2002, which actually is pretty interesting. The numbers are a lot different than they have been really for the last 60 years, to be quite honest. So you guys get to be involved in a fairly novel activity here. The redistricting process at the municipal level really has three segments to it. First of all is the reestablishment of the ward boundaries, which is what the Charter Commission will do. Simultaneously, and you need to be working with the city on this, the city is going to, on the same time schedule, reestablishing the precinct boundaries. And the city also will be reestablishing all the polling places. So within each ward, there will be precincts. For each precinct, there will be a discrete polling place. The legal basis for redistricting, as I said, that since our task here is to create, I'm using the imperial form of these pronouns, you understand. The task here is to create seven districts of essentially equal population. The reason for that is the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which provides, among other things, that that citizens are to be afforded the equal protection of the laws. And the way that the U.S. Supreme Court has interpreted that part of the Constitution over the years is to require that all of our electoral districts for general purpose governments, this being one of them, must be elected on, I'm sure you've heard this phrase before, on a one person, one vote basis. So the other federal law that you will be operating with is the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which was enacted by Congress to enforce the provisions of the 14th and 15th Amendments. And basically what it provides is that you have to treat minority voters fairly, and there are two classes of minority voters that are of interest to you here in St. Paul: racial minorities and language minorities. So you want to keep that in mind. At the state level, our state laws provide that our wards must be as equal in population as practicable, that they must be composed of what the law says is compact and contiguous territory, that they get redefined after every census, and that what kicks this activity off is the completion of legislative redistricting, which happily concluded on February 15th, and that's what I've been spending my spare time on for the last year, is that case, which happily I can report to you that we won. And we, of course, all this time, we were keeping you in mind. One of the things that we advocated to the five-judge panel was that they use our existing precinct boundaries as the basis for creating the new legislative plan, which, for the most part, they did. And I looked at the boundaries in St. Paul the other day, and they are almost dead on our existing precinct boundaries. So that's administratively, that will be fairly useful. And then we have our city charter, which, of course, is that is why you are doing this, because it's in the charter that the Charter Commission create the wards, and that the wards be what they call substantially equal in population. So let's move to the population numbers here. Our census population from 2020 was 311,527. That's actually the second highest population in the city's history. It reverses basically a 60-year period during which the city's population either was declining or just kind of flatlining. So it's really an extraordinary 10-year period where the city's population actually went up by not quite 10%. And, of course, that will have an impact on the ward plan, because now the ideal population of a ward 10 years ago based on the 2010 census was 40,724. Now it's going to be 44,504. An increase of 4,000 people per ward that you are going to have to accommodate. And I took the liberty of taking the since I have these tools at home now, since I've been doing this for the last year, I took the liberty of creating a map of the existing wards on the 2020 data. And so here's what I have determined: that four of the wards are currently underpopulated. That'd be Ward 1, which is short 1,287 people. Ward 3 is short 1,601. Ward 4 is short 287. Ward 5 is short 1,536. And so obviously what that means is the other three wards are overpopulated. And Ward 2 is up 1034. John, Ward 6, up 2,141 people, so something must be happening in Ward 6. And Ward 7 is up 1,535 people. So your population target this year will be to come up with seven wards that have 44,504 people, and that will be plus or minus 1%, and I'll get to that in a moment. And that gives you a range from the target. So your range is to get the population on the low side to 44,059, and then on the high side, 44,949. The other thing I want you to be aware of is that it is useful to be cognizant of where the legislative boundaries are when you create the ward boundaries. And the reason for that is the legislative boundaries, which were created by court order on February 15th, are automatically precinct boundaries. The ward boundaries also, when you adopt the ward plan, those will also automatically become precinct boundaries. And what it is useful to avoid is a situation where you have maybe a block apart, a legislative boundary and a ward boundary, and there is such a place. And when I was still working on this, we called this place Oklahoma. It's actually in Ward 5. It's just east of the freeway, and it's got the kind of the fat area to the north, and then this panhandle, which is one block wide between Edgerton and Payne. And it was created because the ward boundary and the legislative boundary were close but not right on top of each other. So for administrative purposes, those who are going to be running your elections would appreciate it if you minimize or eliminate, you know, Oklahoma and all the other marginal precincts that are out there. 112 is another one of those precincts. And if you look at a map, they're pretty easy to spot. The reason for that is that every time that the city council has to create a precinct, you put $10,000 worth of equipment in that polling place, and you spend another $10,000 over 10 years to operate it. So for $20,000, for that kind of savings, it's good to do some more careful map making. We now have some standards which were adopted by the special redistricting panel in their order of February 15th, and this is for the legislative plan, and you will be using this to the extent that you can. The legislative population equality is plus or minus 2%. The court creates minority opportunity districts, a district from which one of these named groups in the Voting Rights Act has an opportunity to get elected. A minority opportunity district is a district that is 30% or more of one of these racial or language minorities. That the court plan's contiguity is that it is made up of convenient territory, easily traversed, those are their words, that they use geographic features like major roads, rivers, and interestingly, and we also advocated this, so I'm glad they picked it up, neighborhood boundaries, wherever it is practicable, that they attempted to unite people with shared interests in the same districts, which is what we call communities of interest, and that they did not use the incumbents' addresses to determine where to put the new legislative boundaries, because they did not want to do anything to either protect incumbents or attempt to defeat them, nor will you. And Mr. Chair, everybody has the standards that the City Council adopted a couple of years ago. So let me just walk through these very quickly, and we'll skip all the whereases.
I know we handed those out at the last meeting. If folks don't have a copy of them, I do have copies of the resolution here that I can pass out to you.
This is the document.
It's attached to the agenda from the last meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Census data, we use the what we call the PL94-171 data. It was a law passed by Congress instructing the Census Bureau to provide every redistricting authority with data that is broken down to the block level that contains the total population and the population broken out by groups of these individuals who, again, are protected under the Voting Rights Act. So you have that that data available to you. Number two, that you are going to be using what the Supreme Court calls traditional districting principles, which, and I just named a number of them. Number three, and then here are the council standards for wards that you'll be following. Number one, population equality you'll be using is plus or minus 1%. And again, that is 44,504 plus or minus 445. Compactness, that the territory of each ward should be geographically compact. And if you think about this, there are statistical tools that are in the software that you'll be using to do this. But if you think about it, a square or a circle is compact. That things that get away from that are not compact, but that does not necessarily mean that the district is inappropriate. It's just one of the things that you're going to be taking use of. But the more compact the district, the better. That the wards should be made up of contiguous territory, which is to say that there aren't islands of territory that are disconnected from the main body, and that contiguity by water, like the Mississippi River or like Sweet Hollow, are okay as long as it's possible to easily get from one side to another. In the case of the Mississippi, of course, we have bridges that connect Ward 2. Ward 2 is on both sides of the river. And, of course, you have the Lafayette Bridge, the Robert Bridge, the Wabasha Bridge, the High Bridge, and the 35E Bridge, which allow you to drive, walk, ride your bike to get to one side or the other. So that's easily navigable. And for places like Sweet Hollow, there are bridges that go across there, East 7th Street, for example. Or if you want to walk on the trail down there, that would make it as well. Wards that connect at a single point contiguity is not contiguous. So if you have two parcels and they just meet at a single point, that would not be considered contiguous. You'll be using recognizable physical features. This is what the Census Bureau uses to send their enumerators out. So it's anything that would be that one of the enumerators could readily see on the ground. And so that would be freeways, commercial streets, railroad tracks, bodies of water. I think that's fairly easy to figure out. That you should recognize communities of interest. And, of course, for us, communities of interest would include our district councils, and because they embody recognized neighborhoods in St. Paul. But there could be, you know, there could be others as well, because as the council recognizes, there are new communities emerging as a consequence of all the population growth. And so you are free to do that as well. So, for example, and I'm just making this up. I don't want you to do this, but it's easy to use it as an example. All the artists that apparently live in those converted warehouses on University Avenue, down by where Keys is, is that a community of interest? That might very well be, but don't do that. I just want to make that clear for the tape. The council, interestingly, also, however, states here that downtown does not necessarily need to be one neighborhood. And so they are giving you the authority, if you want to split downtown up between two or more wards. As the court recognized, the council also does not want the ward boundaries to favor the incumbents or to favor or disfavor anybody else who's running, that the boundaries should be politically neutral. They also say that they would like you to start from scratch and create the seven wards as a new activity, that you do not need to work from the existing ward plan, that you are free to start from scratch and to go from there. That, again, you should not take into consideration the location of the incumbents, that, as we found in the legislative plan, and I don't know whether you heard about this in the news, the court-ordered legislative plan paired up one-third of the membership of the legislature. And they didn't plan to do that, but when you use these neutral redistricting principles, that is very often the consequence. And so if your final plan pairs up one or more council members and as a consequence leaves open a ward that has no incumbent, that is perfectly legitimate. That is an outcome that the council anticipates could very well happen as a consequence of you using these neutral principles. You'll also and this is a fine line here, that you need to be cognizant of the legal rights of the racial and language minorities in St. Paul, but you should not go out of your way to create a racially gerrymandered ward plan. So again, you'll be you just need to do the balancing act on all of that. People will judge your work by how you treat the minority groups, but you should not set out with that in mind. My experience has been that if you follow the district council boundaries, even in a general pattern, you'll deal with the Voting Rights Act issues. It's a consequence of where people have chosen to live or where they have the ability to live. Finally, the council does not want you to use any political data. So previous election results, who is going to the precinct caucuses, the social and economic data that's in the census block information, it's all out there, but that you are not supposed to use any of that in the creation of the ward plan. The numbering should be generally as we have now. You should use the 2012 plan as the general scheme for numbering the wards, where Ward 1 is basically in the center of town. Isn't that right, Council Member Montgomery? And then we have Ward 2 to the south, 3, 4. I'm going backwards as you're looking at me, 5, 6, 7. So you use the same basic numbering scheme, even though your map may not look like the one that we have now. And then you'll make the information available to the city clerk, who will put it on the city's website so that people can see what you're considering to do. And then the effective date of the new ward boundaries will be for the first new election of the council, and of course that will not occur until 2023. And then finally, Mr. Chair, let me just walk through a couple of dates here that might be of interest to you. The legislative plan adoption is what kicks off this whole activity. Your legal deadline for adoption of the new ward boundaries is March 29th. That's also the deadline for the council to adopt new precinct boundaries. And so what I'm telling you here is that you need to coordinate your activity with the city council's activity to create the new precinct boundaries, because those two things are closely related. And again, as I said, you want to try to not end up with a lot of these tiny precincts that have just a handful of voters because they are squeezed between legislative boundaries and ward boundaries. After you're done, the county board will then adopt its new commissioner plan no later than April 26th. The council will then approve the new polling places by May 11th. The candidates will start coming in to file for office between the 17th and 31st of May. The voters will be notified of the new geography no later than July 15th. And on August 9th, they start voting. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Mr. Mansky, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. This is very helpful. So I have two questions. One is with respect to the council resolution. Mm-hmm. It is a resolution of the council. Is that binding upon the Charter Commission?
It's, you know, you should probably ask your attorney about that.
Okay.
Ask Ian when you see him next. I think it was meant to be guidance to you.
Okay. And then the second question with respect to creation of ward boundaries for a existing ward boundaries should be created de novo. So those standards, 1 through 5, I guess, are in order of priority.
Correct.
So we get down to 4 and it says boundaries should be de novo. So that's a radical thing. We could, for example, take the city and start in the western boundary and create 7 slices.
Mm-hmm.
Or put a dot in the middle of the city and create 7 pie shapes.
Right.
We didn't do that 10 years ago. We
right.
didn't do it 20 years ago.
Correct.
So how does that fit into the larger scheme of things?
Mr. Chair, you might, even starting from scratch, you might come up with something that looks a lot like the current ward plan, if it makes sense to you,
mm-hmm.
if it meets these criteria. And, of course, I sent you something that is an example of that.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Commissioner Kerr. Mr. Chairman, along those lines, thank you, Mr. Mansky, very mm-hmm. much. There is a lot of law about traditional districting and redistricting, using those traditional principles. And so if we're looking for fairness and some of the other criteria that the law has, despite the fact that the law has a lot of traditional principles, where isn't the fairest way to make sure all these criteria you have to represent underrepresented just to have at-large wards? I mean, isn't that an equal representation that also accommodates all the other requirements that we have as a commission?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Freeman, how much time do you got?
I would say if you can be brief in
yeah, brief,
discussing how this fits or doesn't fit.
I don't want. I know there's a long answer to this, but I'm curious more than anything. Yeah.
The not that this, especially with former council member Montgomery as a member of this body, not that this body would contemplate doing anything like this, but as you know, in some states, which will remain unnamed here, local governing bodies have gone from district representation to at-large representation in order to, excuse my language, screw the people who are protected under the Voting Rights Act of 1965. As the Charter Commission, you are, from time to time, your charge is to review our form of government. And, of course, in the recent past, I guess the 70s is, for me it's recent, we used to have a hybrid approach. We had some at-large council members, some of the members here who are older than me, who will remain unnamed here, will remember that we did have a combination of at-large council members and district council members. And, you know, as the Charter Commission, you are free to, at some point, determine whether or not you want a system like that. Or, at some point, maybe you think that, like Minneapolis, St. Paul should have 13 wards or 25 wards.
And these are more of a question of what the charter says now in law.
That's correct.
Okay,
your immediate task here is simply to take the existing charter, and since in reality my recommendation to you here is as your former technical guy. You need to be done with this by about March 14th, 15th, so that the council can do the other things that it needs to do to get everything done properly. So I would if I were you, I would concentrate on doing the ward plan. And then if you want to revisit this idea of expanding the council or as we used to have in the past, having a hybrid of some at-large members and some district members or going with an all-at-large council, that's why this body exists,
right,
is for you to explore those ideas.
All right, thank you.
And I would recommend, while a worthwhile pursuit, probably not something that we fit in our scope in this,
correct,
in this shortened,
yeah,
time. Commissioner Varco.
Just to be clear, at-large seats or multi-member seats would not be a valid redistricting plan under the current charter.
Under the current charter, that is correct. But I'm banging your equipment around here. Can you explore that sometime, in the future? Yes, but again, I feel compelled as your former technical guy here to advise you that the Supreme Court of the United States has not looked kindly on jurisdictions that have done either the multi-member districts or the at-large districts with the idea that they want to disenfranchise voters whose rights are protected by the Voting Rights Act. Not that you would ever contemplate doing that, but that is the environment that you would be going into. So it's not that you can't explore that at some point, but you might want to be a little careful about that.
I have a question, Mr. Mansky, on the interface between the precinct line drawing and the ward boundaries. Can you talk to us a little bit about how the council and the commission worked together in previous years? I think this year we're looking at doing that together and with the help of our consultants, navigating both of those tasks hand in hand while also incorporating the Ramsey County technical assistance. So
right,
any guidance you can give on how do we bring all these different features together into one,
yes,
plan?
Yes. You want these two trains traveling on parallel tracks, and because they have to arrive at the station at exactly the same time. So you should be working very closely with the elections office to make sure that whatever plan that you are coming up with is going to square properly with the precinct boundaries, because as I mentioned to you, all the legislative boundaries are automatically precinct boundaries. So are the new ward boundaries. They will automatically be precinct boundaries. Now, I'll just, since I'm sitting here and since I'm no longer working for money, I have become more shameless than I used to be. So I will tell you, when I started doing this, St. Paul had 131 precincts. When I left, they had 95. I would use this 10-year opportunity to reduce the number of precincts and to get better polling places. And I will just state my bias right out in front here. I am an advocate of vote centers that are open for 3 weeks, days, nights, weekends, whatever. And if it were up to me, I would close half the polling places. And I will just report to you, when I told former Council President Lantry my idea, she said, good luck selling that to the council.
I'm not sure we have the power of the purse to define or decide that, but I appreciate your input nonetheless. Commissioner Varco.
A question about precincts that are split by the new legislative districts. You said you looked at the map and you didn't see a lot. Are you aware of anywhere or how many where you could not take a divided precinct, add the divided parts to existing precincts, and that would solve the problem of precincts divided by legislative boundaries? Or are there places where the pieces are so big that they can't be safely added to an existing precinct?
The ones I saw, I don't see any problem just adding the territory to the adjacent precinct. But it will just, the consequence is the precinct boundary must change. Yeah. Some voters will then switch from one area to another. They'll go to a different polling place. There are always some people who are unhappy about that, but that's life.
And I think with that, I think we'll move on to the next. Mr. Mansky, if you're able to hang around for a bit, we may have some additional questions, sure. But I know you have other commitments too.
I do.
I know that this process is as much art as science, and so getting some artist input from previous years is helpful. But I think we also want to hear from the folks that are our technician this year going forward. So thank you again.
Sure thing.
Mr. Triplett, is it okay to call you forward to share Ramsey County's kind of status and role and partnership in this?
Thank you. Chair, members of the Charter Commission, Dave Triplett, Ramsey County's elections manager, called to speak about kind of where we're at for this year, for 2020. Joe covered a few of the things I was going to talk about, especially kind of concerning your role in redistricting the wards. But before I get to that, for the record, I have provided to both the chair and Commissioner Freeman the presentation materials that we have provided to all the cities. We first started meeting with our cities in April of 2021 to talk about redistricting. We have had a few subsequent meetings as well as some informational newsletters or emails. And then I think we gave you specific recommendations for the precinct polling places in the current wards, given that those could change.
I think we handed those out at our last commission meeting, yeah. So folks don't have them. I think they're electronically on there, and then had printed copies Perfect. Of both of those last time. So thank you, David.
So my final statement was going to be, if you did not have access to those, you can reach out to me directly, and I can forward those. Not to reiterate everything that's in those, I think the real high level is the definition of roles, and then we can get into kind of what is the county doing under the contract for technical assistance in redrawing wards and precincts. Joe did cover some of this, so I don't need to reiterate the legislature's role, the city's role, and the county's role. The one administrative points I wanted to highlight is that once the legislative boundaries were complete, the county auditor has a statutory duty to provide those to the city clerk. So that did happen last week. All the new boundaries were sent. I believe, Chairman, I sent you kind of that information as well, because we knew it would be coming shortly. And then administratively, once the city is done, that resolution and the maps have to be sent both to the Secretary of State's office and back to the county auditor. That is so the county auditors can move voters into the correct precincts, because voters have to vote where they live, and we have to make sure that by June 24th, when voting starts for the August primary, that voters are in their correct precincts. And the county will do that work over the month of April. We'll take all the plans from the 16 municipalities across Ramsey County and move voters into their appropriate precincts. And then we will notify the voters of their new precincts. We also have a statutory duty to notify the voters of the legislative boundaries, congressional boundaries, and the commissioner boundaries. And we will also, under our contract, provide the new ward boundaries to the residents in the city of St. Paul. In terms of technical assistance and what's available, why is someone from the county here? This is a city activity. Well, I'm here because since 1996, the city has contracted with Ramsey County to carry out your elections duties. Elections are, the event that happens in a primary in November, but there's other things that go into an election: petitions, candidate filing, and the districts with which we elect our candidates or our officials. My office's role is to perform those elections. So the creation of districts statutorily has always been given to the governing body. That makes it public. It makes it something done by elected officials, not done by administrators, and it gives a chance for the public to come in and comment. But the reality is you can't make these decisions on your own unless you're out there in the field every day working with these precinct boundaries, working with the voters, hearing from the voters. So for the fact that the county has carried out your elections since 1996, generally, yes, the council does, and in the mayor's office we'll hear from voters, but we're working with the voters every day. So if they don't like a precinct boundary, if they don't like a ward boundary, if they don't like crossing Highway 61 to get from their polling place, we hear from them. We have that information. So the first outreach of the cities was to provide them this information, and so we provided the city a pretty rough estimate, not knowing how the wards would change, not knowing how the legislative boundaries would change, what we thought was working and wasn't working for your precinct. So we identified some locations. You have Railroad Island, which I believe is a legislative slip, but those voters have to come downtown to vote. There is not a suitable polling location for 210. St. Thomas University is split by a legislative district, but every year someone from the campus calls us and says, can we just be one precinct? Why are we two precincts? And we got to explain the legislative boundaries. So we've included in that letter our suggestions for those and what we've heard on comments. Joe did cover one of the parts for this body, the ward boundaries. I was going to mention exactly what Joe said, is, yes, you're not in charge of drawing the precinct boundaries, but the precincts have to be drawn from the ward boundaries. So if you change those, you could impact precincts. A precinct can be drawn out of a map. It might look good, might be equitable, might have really good boundaries with few barriers to move across. But if it doesn't have a good polling place, it's going to be difficult to serve those voters on election day. Great example is in Highland, Ward 314, highest turnout precinct in the state of Minnesota. We have jumped around, and I shouldn't say we, the city council ultimately determines polling places, but we make suggestions to them, and in my experience, they've always taken our suggestions. We have bounced around in polling places because there just isn't a good polling place to accommodate the 1,400 voters who are showing up on election day to vote. There is plenty of research, and I could forward the most common research that I know, that shows every time you change a polling place, there's going to be a percentage of voters who just won't vote. The number I always hear is around 10%. It's for various reasons. They show up to the old place. They don't get notice of where the new one was, even though we legally have to post that. They don't have time to get to the new place. There's various reasons, but every time you move a polling place, you will impact some voters who just won't vote again, at least in that election. So there is research that does show moving polling places can have an impact on turnout. So that is another piece of advice. Yes, you're in charge of the wards, but as Joe said, I'd be really aware of the current precinct boundaries or what the council is thinking of doing so you don't inadvertently create a problem where there's not a good polling place for a precinct, or you've created a precinct where the polling place has to be, you know, on the other side of Wheelock Parkway or the other side of a railroad track. And so that's the kind of technical expertise that us carrying out your elections for, oh, what are we on, 24 years, 26 years now, that we have learned and that we have provided and are willing to provide. This is a good forum for that. So if you have specific questions as you're drawing those lines, we're here to help and here to answer. Specifically, though, and I have provided the list of polling places, so when we sent out the maps, the new legislative maps, we also provided you the base maps, the current maps as they are today, so you can overlay those and see where that's going. But again, that's at the end of the day, as Joe said, that's the council's duty. They will establish the polling places, but the work you do will kind of guide their hand in how they have to draw these precinct boundaries. Another consideration would be, and you benefit from this, and Jen Joe covered what I was going to say here, but you can draw the wards however you want, and you're not going to have an issue with a special election because all your council members are up at the same time. So you're not creating a position at the county. So for our county seats, we do half our commissioners in the governor's year and the other half in the presidential year. And if there's massive changes, you could have commissioners running for a special election when they just ran for election 2 years ago. You don't have to worry about that because all your council members are going to run for election again in 2023. Yes, 2023. And so Minneapolis, obviously, they have a similar system. There's just every 4 years. But not having that staggered allows you to make some changes politically that might not be as doable if you have staggered seats. So one of my other advice is you've got a chance to make some changes that won't impact someone have to run for a special election. With that, I will, again, the documents we've provided are on record, so I guess I will stand for any questions going forward.
Questions, commissioners?
Real quick, where are those? Do we have the details of the precincts and the maps that
so what we do have is the two items. One was the redistricting in 2012 packet, and then the listing of the precincts. I don't know
if there's other items
the,
that they are accessible.
Chair, Commissioner, we did forward the base plans and the legislative maps to the clerk's office. State law does require us to send it to the clerk. If that has not been provided, you can contact the clerk or contact me directly. I can send those over to you.
Yeah, I don't think that we've received them as a council, so if those are useful documents for us to
review. Yeah, the base maps and the precincts are really what – I mean, if you want to see us in change, because I guess the city council is the authority on this, but from my advice, you have really good polling places. The city of St. Paul, let me step back. Precincts don't have to just change during redistricting. Minus the year before redistricting, you can change. You can't. The council can change precincts boundaries whenever they want. I believe the last change was in 2019 for a small part of Highland, just kind of moving an apartment building into an appropriate precinct, which was more accessible to another polling place. So the precinct boundaries can always be changed. And so the city of St. Paul has been very proactive in updating their polling places annually. I think last year they changed six of them upon our advice. They've changed precinct boundaries upon our advice in the past. So I think having run your elections now as a manager for the last 3 years, you have really good polling places. And I think the city's been proactive enough to deal with problem polling places. There's still a few, but has been proactive. So I really would think if you look at your current list of polling places and precinct, you're in a really good spot. And I would encourage you to continue using those. Yeah, do we have some problem ones? Sure, we do. And I believe they're all highlighted in that. The other piece of note, Joe said you had minor changes. I will provide you the changes we've identified. I think for the city of St. Paul, it's either 20 to 30 precincts that will have to have some boundary changes. Most of those are not dramatic. I have not done the math yet on all the how many voters will be switched. But precincts don't have to be equal, and that is not before this body. That's before the city council. Your wards, on the other hand, equality is very important. But for a precinct, we always recommend, you'll see in the documents, we always recommend 1,500 to 2,000 voters per precinct. But if you have a really good facility with a lot of parking, a big gym, a place for lines to form, you can probably accommodate up to 2,500 to 3,000 voters. Now, the city of St. Paul is very urban, so parking lots are at a minimum. So, you know, there's very few of those locations in St. Paul. But precincts don't have to be equal. They've got to be manageable. And they become manageable by the polling place that serves that precinct. Again, a lot of this is for the city council to deal with. But because these are parallel activities and your work will impact their work, that is something you're going to want to be aware of as you're drawing these new boundaries.
A question just, again, on that parallel work piece. So this is something that's sticking in my craw to try to figure out how we navigate. Again, I think we're working with our consultants to both do the polling places and the ward boundaries together. So I think in some ways the council is delegating that responsibility, or at least the timeline of how we're working is going to require them to do that. And so as we're going about making those adjustments, I'm wondering how we can best interact and work with your office as we're doing that additional input. And I think we'll find out more from Mr. Heller and Mr. McClung about, you know, guidance on how we should actually get into the weeds of drawing lines, making these decisions, incorporating this feedback. But I'm just wondering, again, within that technical assistance category, how do we best bring that knowledge from you and your staff into that process so that we aren't creating those unintentional.
Yeah. Chair, reach out to me. I don't know what I don't know. So if I'm not hearing from cities, I don't know what you need. So yeah, if invite me to these events, ask what you're looking for. We'll see what we can provide. Call me, email me, get a hold of me. I work quite a bit. So we're very much willing to be here. The two points to consider, from my county hat, there's a slight conflict of interest because we will, as Joe said, we're going to take your precincts, the county. I'm speaking of we, the county. We're going to take your precincts and then draw our county commissioner districts. So there is, you know, we don't want to be sitting drawing your precincts because we have to go use those. But as your election official carrying out your elections, I have a vast amount of experience with what precinct boundaries are working, which ones aren't working. And again, we've highlighted those in that letter. I will tell you right now, 210 is probably one you're really going to want to deal with. Joe had mentioned we call it the panhandle now. not Oklahoma, but the Oklahoma Panhandle, and Joe also mentioned 112. When you look at your precinct map, and again, this is the council's work, it's usually those little tiny precincts or the ones that look oddly shaped compared to the others. You're all St. Paul residents. You know the major roadways. So when you look at that map, you're going to be able to tell this boundary is following Wheelock Parkway. This one's following Ford Parkway. What we hear a lot from voters, they don't want to cross busy roads. We need to be on public transportation for polling places. Joe said a good one. You don't want to be crossing big bodies of water. You can cross the river pretty easily if you're by a bridge. You can't cross it easily if you're up in Cherokee. Well, I guess the high bridge is there. But you get what I'm saying. There's certain parts where it's not as accessible. You can cross Lake Phelan if you're in a boat. You can't cross it if, you know, if you're walking. It's going to take you a while. So being very aware of those natural and geographic barriers. We get a lot of calls from voters. If there's a little line, we're going to hear about it. And they don't say there was a line. They say, you are disenfranchising me from voting. So you really want to make sure you have, again, I know this is a council activity, but adequate polling places for those precincts. And our office, one of the big things we can provide for technical assistance is, here's how we're looking at drawing this precinct. Do you have a polling place that's going to work for this new precinct? And again, most of your polling places are really good. And actually, for 314, the busiest, highest turnout precinct in the state of Minnesota, we finally got a really good polling place, Highland High School. The high schools have been hesitant to allow us to vote there, but with online learning, they made it a learning day, and most of the schools are now open. I do not think the St. Paul School District has this, but the White Bear Lake School District, the 622, 282, they've all made election day and e-learning day indefinitely. And that means all their schools are open as polling places. Schools are awesome polling places. You have a big gym. You generally have a lot of parking. And if there's no students there, you don't have a security concern. So that would be another thing. As you're drawing wards and the city council is drawing precinct boundaries, we're ready to tell you which polling places work and which don't. And I've had a staff member already review all these, and we will be providing these to the cities very shortly. So.
Other questions? Well, thank you, David. Again, I think we all understand it's a bunch of different hands coming in and doing the baking here and making sure it works. So appreciate you making yourself available here. Cool. And going forward as we figure out how to do this.
You're welcome. Well, if you need my hand to help bake, you know where I'm at.
Thank you. I'm going to see how many food analogies I can work in.
Are you hungry?
I'm always hungry. So, Mr. Heller, Mr. McClung, I would ask for your input. I had a chance to chat just briefly with Mr. McClung earlier, trying to figure out how do we roadmap our work. And I think the document that may be a helpful guide for all of us is that proposal in your packet that kind of talks about kind of the work and their timeline. I'd flag for Mr. McClung as well some of the timeline pieces that we discussed last week as the Charter Commission, and I think that Mr. Triplett and others also mentioned, or Mr. Mansky, about aligning with the City Council needing to pass pieces as well. But we have, I think, if I understand correctly, an agreement, and you're our team for figuring out the technical pieces going forward. And so I'd just open the floor for you guys to kind of do an introduction, give us a lay of the land, and then we can start figuring out what our work plan and calendar is.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Brian McClung, co-CEO and senior principal at Park Street Public. We're a full-service government relations, public relations firm here in St. Paul. We're located about a block north of the state capitol, 525 Park Street. And on the screen, my colleague Dave Heller. And Dave is really one of the foremost redistricting experts in the country, just a broad set of experience serving as a consultant to members of Congress on their redistricting for cities and counties across the United States. So we're really happy to be partnered with Dave Just by way of background, briefly, we were hired, our team was hired by Ramsey County to handle their redistricting, and we started on that in December. So we've been at that for almost 3 months now. And I think that this is great synergy for us to be able to partner with you and serve as your consultants to the Charter Commission as you fulfill your duties as outlined in the Charter and in statute. You know, the fact that we're already in the Ramsey County maps and have been working through those and examining those closely over these past 3 months really gives us a good head start into what needs to happen with the St. Paul map. And I think that's really important and something for us to keep in mind as we dive into this is that we essentially have 3 weeks. So I want to reiterate what Mr. Mansky was saying. We really need to be done by March 14th or 15th. So as much as this feels kind of like a political science exercise, it really is just getting the job done and making sure that we uphold those redistricting principles, that we uphold those principles that are in the Voting Rights Act, and that you come out of this process with a map that will withstand any scrutiny, that does exactly what it's supposed to do, that is fair, and that the citizens of St. Paul look at and say, you know, I understand this map, this makes sense, because that's ultimately where you want to be. You want to be in a position where people are enfranchised, not disenfranchised, where you're respecting those redistricting principles, and it's easy for people to understand what's happened. And so, you know, we've been going through that process in Ramsey County. And again, because the county ultimately has to utilize these ward and precinct lines, we think it makes a lot of sense for us to, you know, be in this and work through this and get it done together. And again, I think we're really fortunate to have Dave on our team because in order to turn this all around in 3 weeks and, you know, kind of work through some iterations and get feedback from you all on the map, it's going to take somebody with that high level of technical expertise in map drawing. And I have no question in my mind that Dave is the guy for that. So I don't know, Mr. Chair, maybe we could turn it over to Dave also for some, you know, just kind of table setting and some background about the approach that we might take.
Yeah, Mr. Heller, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate the kind words. I'm excited to be working with you and your fellow members of the Charter Commission on this important project. As Brian alluded to, I've worked for cities and counties, big and small, across the country, from smaller cities like Evansville, Indiana, to larger counties like Clark County, Nevada, which includes Las Vegas, a county of 2.265 million people. And I've done redistricting for all of them. In Clark County, we passed our map 7-0 with no dissent for the second decade in a row. And the first one was never challenged in any court, and we don't expect the second one to be. And we'd like to do the same thing for you here in St. Paul, starting with redoing your wards and precincts. And we're looking forward to it. And we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
So I guess with that, we'd be happy to take any questions that you all have. You know, we kind of outlined the timeline in the proposal. We're probably, you know, backed up a week from what we had outlined here. And really, it's essentially just looking at it in terms of each Friday, we've got to hit a deadline, right? So by tomorrow, we anticipated needing to have everything on hand. Now, again, the good news is that because we're already working in this, with Dave Triplett and his team at Ramsey County, you know, I think we essentially have the data that we need to get started right away. We'll double check that, you know, to make sure that we have everything we need, you know, have an understanding of these polling place locations and how that might play in. But then essentially that we would use this upcoming week to dive into this and, you know, create some initial maps for review. And this, you know, this is kind of map drawing week. Then we come back, you know, map review week, work through that, make revisions, and there you are. And then we're at, you know, March 14th, 15th. And as we've said, you know, getting this to the council. And my understanding of that is, you know, the state law requires us to establish those lines by March 29th. But the council's last meeting before that is, I think, March 26th. And so, you know, if you want to get it to the council with a little bit of, or 23rd. Yeah, that's right, 23rd. So really that, yeah, that March 23rd meeting is kind of the absolute deadline. And you may well want to try to do it a little bit in advance of that or hold a, you know, a public hearing or do something, you know, do a virtual conversation about a draft map before it's finalized so that there's an opportunity for public input if you desire, those kinds of things. But it's really, again, like these, you know, tomorrow and then the next, you know, three Fridays where we'll be, you know, kind of getting through this and making sure that we accomplish what needs to be accomplished here.
Yeah. Commissioner Kerr.
Thank you. So you said that you're behind a week, or according to this, it looks like you're on schedule.
Well, we said the contract would be engaged, finalized on the 18th, which it hasn't. It's happening now. So that's why we're a week past what that – the intention of this when we had drafted the proposal was that, you know, last Friday we would have been done, and then we already would have been kind of in that process. But as long as, you know, again, because we already have the data and the information, there isn't a really a turnover that needs to occur like it did when we got started on the Ramsey County work. So we're essentially able to make up that week as a result of having the data on hand.
Okay. So are you, when will you have that contract with the city finalized?
I'm working with the city attorney's office for procurement on it now.
But just to verify, Sherry and Mr. McClung, we're able to go ahead, work on this, begin our diving into this. We're at a...
Yeah, I mean, we have a verbal agreement on the terms of the contract, and, you know, we know the city's good for it. So I think we feel comfortable jumping in. Now, I should state that our business attorney always prefers that we have the written contract signed prior to, you know, engaging in the work. But at the same time, we understand that we're up against a really tight deadline here. And so we want to be your partners in getting this moving. And so kind of on good faith, you know, we're willing to jump in right now.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate that. And I think looking at the timeline piece as well, one of the things we probably need to decide or land on, if the 23rd is the date, we heard feedback from City Clerk Moore that the council would feel more comfortable passing lines with some time to review them before their meeting, and so that backs us up maybe another week piece. So we may do some adjusting on that timeline piece and be even more condensed there. So Commissioner Montgomery, or no?
Yeah, just a real quick follow-up question to that. So is it fair to say that we will have an initial precinct and ward map drafted prior to March 4th?
Dave, what's your sense of, you know, some initial maps? You know, we start to dive into this next week. You know, we had, yeah, March 4th as kind of that it would happen this upcoming week. What's your, how do you feel about starting to look at some maps?
Boy, that's tight. We'll try. We'll try.
Yeah, Mr.
The more guidance we can get from the commission up front about exactly what it's looking for, the easier and quicker the process will be.
That may be a great transition, Mr. Heller, into kind of how we want to do that engagement and plan that out. Again, amongst the documents on our Charter Commission, we had just this is my scratch draft work of a timeline, and so trying to figure out when we need to meet as a group, how you want to collect feedback from the commission. I think as a decision point amongst our body, we need to figure out how many public meetings and when we would like to schedule that. I'd love to unpack a little bit how we best utilize your work and present that in a public meeting, and how that needs to be coordinated with Ramsey County, kind of as our work plan, you know, off the top of my head as well. Be interested in what your the technology you're using and the map making and how you see us interfacing with that. So I don't know. That's about 17 questions, Mr. Heller. Feel free to grab as many of those as you feel comfortable with.
Well, again, I guess I would just say, to the extent that you can give us guidance as to what you want to see different in the map, how you would like these wards and precincts to be designed, that would be really helpful. Obviously, Mr. Mansky was kind enough to send over some suggestions, which I saw this afternoon for the first time. That's extremely helpful. That sort of thing moves the process along much quicker.
And again, as I understand, the principles laid out and walked through by Mr. Mansky is a guide, and as Chair Olton pointed out, they're not necessarily a restrictive guide, but guidance for us to go forward. Again, I think we as a commission haven't really delved into if there are any additional principles we would want to add into there or considerations. And so figuring out how we would want to gather that amongst ourselves or deliver that directly, I think I want to make sure it's a efficient process for you, so that it does reflect our work. And then ultimately, when we do that public engagement, that the feedback we get there can be incorporated in a productive way as well. So I think for me, at least, some of those principles include ensuring enfranchisement, access to polling locations. All of that is paramount. I think ease of administration for the city and the county is a priority that we've heard from our technical assistants, so that our elections run smoothly. And I don't know if others have kind of thoughts. Maybe that's a good launching off place for others to begin to share a bit of what they want to see broadly in our redistricting proposals and kind of start a brainstorm there. Or, again, I may be hijacking the direction you want to go. We'll go to Mr. Heller, and then we'll come back to Mr. Kerr.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you hit it exactly right. There are many different principles that guide the redistricting process always. Obviously, every district has to be contiguous. You want them to be, as Mr. Mansky said at the beginning, you want them to be relatively compact. You want them to respect communities of interest. You want them to make sure that we are giving voice to minority groups and language minority groups. We want to make sure that we are facilitating ease with which our residents can get to the polls, and the ease with which the city and the county can manage the polls. There may be other people with other concerns with regard to the different redistricting principles and criteria that we're going to use here, and that's where I came back to you and said, this is really where we're looking to you for guidance. To the extent that you can say to us, as Mr. Triplett was kind enough to do, here are a couple polling places that we might want to look at doing things differently. Here are a couple other places where we've done things differently and it's worked out really well and there's no need to change them. For example, we're using a school now and that's worked out really great because schools have ample parking and the security is very good and everybody knows how to get there. So that's really where Brian and I and our group at Park Street look to you and your colleagues for the kind of guidance that I was referencing earlier, sir.
And I'll add to that really quickly in that, you know, in the process of doing this for Ramsey County, right, we talked to the county commissioners and got that kind of feedback from them because they're the body responsible ultimately for approving that map. Likewise, you're the body responsible for approving the map here. Now, you know, we got started on that 3 months ago, so we had a little bit more time. But I would think that, you know, as you were suggesting, Mr. Chair, maybe collecting all of the input from the Charter Commission members you know, by email or, you know, at this meeting after you're done talking with us or whatever the, you know, fastest way for you to do that. But I think if we would say, let's get that collected by the end of this weekend so that, you know, Monday morning you could forward that to Dave and I and we could think through that collective input, that would be helpful. And I think it's in particular thinking about things like where have the communities of interest grown over the last decade, and do the wards we have today reflect that, or are there adjustments that need to be made? Those kinds of things where you think about, you know, communities of interest, keeping neighborhoods together, you know, just those kind of common sense things. You look at the map and say, this is our once every 10-year opportunity to improve this map and the way the representation in the city of St. Paul happens. And so if we can find those opportunities for improvement, and you all come from different parts of the city and know and understand that, and that's why that feedback is really helpful to us. And it was that kind of feedback has been really helpful in the county process. So I'd say think about it in that sense. Now, it is just in looking at the map and talking through it over these last few days, the map is pretty well laid out. Like, if you think about the communities of interest in the city of St. Paul, it fits pretty well with the general wards that we have right now. So I don't think, just from a gut check perspective, that this map is way off or that people are disenfranchised as a result of this map and where the growth has occurred. And that's in part because you have seven wards in one city, right? Whereas when you're looking at the county map, right, you have seven districts in an entire county, and they're much larger. And so, you know, you have four that are essentially in the city of St. Paul and three in the suburbs, and it's a different look. And so that's what I'd encourage you to think about is look at those, you know, look at the ward map right now and think about where could those changes occur that help, you know, enhance the representation of disenfranchised community groups, et cetera, and think through that. And that kind of feedback is really helpful.
And I would say I appreciate that feedback. I'm not sure any of us would feel comfortable turning something around by Monday, but I do know, and again, some of that timeline piece is part of our frustration in this process of what we would want to do versus how we get to a conclusion by the deadline. And so we're all going to have to work through not having, you know, not being fixated on perfection and not let perfect be the enemy of the good as we go about that. But I think figuring out how we gather that, and in response, I think the other piece I'd love to hear from you guys today is how we can get the information that will allow us to ground that feedback in the context of the work. So what information do we still need to Mr. Commissioner Varco's point of where have the precincts moved or need to be moved because of the legislative lines? Where are those demographic changes? And some of that comes by playing with the map, I think, and the expertise from Mr. Heller. So trying to figure out how we coordinate and work there. Some of that comes from the folks at Ramsey County with some of that written. But I want to make sure that we have enough context to be able to provide meaningful input. We're going to go to Commissioner Kerr and then Commissioner Alton.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so my question for you is I mean, are we asking for additional levels of criteria? Because I see the city council resolution. I see the letter from Ramsey County to the city. Those seem to have quite a lot of the criteria that we're asking you for when you create the initial map, at least. What else are you asking for beside that? I do appreciate Mr. Freeman's comments about the maps and where the demographics are and all that kind of thing. But beyond that, what are we – what I don't know what to ask because I don't know what I could ask for.
It's your perspective on where you see those criteria playing out in real life. So it's your expertise, knowledge, and understanding of the city of St. Paul – neighborhoods, population growth, et cetera. And so it's applying those principles so that you would say, you know, this is an important principle. Here's how I see that principle playing out over the population growth in the last 10 years in the city of St. Paul. This is something you know, Dave and Brian should be aware of as you draft a new version of the map.
Correct. The idea, for example, if I may, the idea that downtown is
is grown, and do we want to have one, two, or three precincts in downtown? The idea of if we're having multiple precincts in downtown, what are your preferences about how downtown be divided? Are there communities of interest downtown that we ought to be particularly sensitive to that that in your mind should take precedence as we're drawing or redrawing these precincts, that sort of thing? We're not asking you for new categories, not at all. We're simply asking you to help us prioritize what's there. I will tell you the single most important thing that we can get from you all is what is the number of precincts that you ultimately want, right? Mr. Mansky talked about how they've gone down over the years. He said he'd like to see it reduced from 95 even more. What is the number that we're working with? If we have that number first, we can then figure out as a math equation how many people should be in each precinct and start drawing based on that number.
Commissioner Olden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we're doing is we're starting with the base of 2010, and we think that in 2010, our ward boundaries reflected the information that's in the council resolution. I think we want to stay with that council resolution. I think that's the information you've got. To the extent that census data has shown that communities of interest have changed, that's your job. We don't have that information. We need that from you. We're not going to give you anything like that. Sure. We don't know what it is. And we're not going to send you emails over the course of the weekend saying we want this and or that, because we don't know. As to Mr. Heller's comment about precincts in downtown or the number of precincts in the city, we're not coming into this with the notion that we want to make any radical changes in the number of precincts in the city. We're comfortable with what we've got. I don't know. That's Mr. Mansky made a good point. We appreciate that, but that's not part of our interest here. We're primarily concerned with creating the ward boundaries, and we want to proceed that way.
Good.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's perfect. I mean, so that's exactly the kind of input.
One more direction.
That we're looking for.
Council members, the commissioners are here, and we want to get that job done today. We don't want to wait till next week. Because in addition to
all the better
getting these maps, we have to have public hearings. And we have a minimum 3-day notice period for getting out public notice, but we don't want to do the minimum. We want to do the maximum we possibly can to get out notice to the public, because we want public input into this process, and we have to have one or more public hearings. So we want your help in calendaring that, too.
Right. Well, I guess it would be before March 14th or 15th,
yeah.
Right? And that's the thing, because if that's our hopeful goal and we can get this to the council, with about a week before they actually have to vote on it, it's probably, right in there somewhere. But that's pretty soon, as we know. So we'll
have meetings in multiple days. We'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Councilmember Barco.
I would just reinforce what Commissioner Alton said. I think if the time crunch, if for no other reason, suggests that lease change is going to be a recurring theme. I would just say I think there is an opportunity to clean up some inconveniences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm speaking for myself, and I think probably for some other members of the commission, that having maps of like the Mansky lease change option to the level of detail that you might find on the Ramsey County website, where you can see the streets, that would allow us to take those and show them to people and show them to the public and say, where do we need to shave off a part here because it makes more sense to go over here. I know there's some places where we've got some weird jags that we were done last time to accommodate some numbers, and maybe now's the time to clean that up. But I think that's a pressing priority, to get something so that we can start having concrete discussions as much as, you know, it's one thing to talk about principles, but I think we need quickly to be able to get to, I need you to move this block from here to here.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Well, and that's helpful guidance as well. You know, if the commission feels like a key priority here is cleanup, right, is that we know that there are some, kind of funky things in the map right now, cleanup and reapportionment as the starting point, and then look at it and see what we've got, then I think that's probably a good initial, way for us to get started on the first round of maps to review.
Commissioner Montgomery. Mm-hmm.
Do we have, with this increase of population that we have in the city, is there the data that breaks down the diversity of the areas and where they're located in the city?
Yes. Yeah, Madam Commissioner, there is. And that's incorporated in the data that we've been working with on the Ramsey County redistricting. So when, Dave is drawing new districts, then you're able to look at the, the population within that new district or ward, breaking it down by a number of factors, including, African American, Asian, et cetera. So, yes, those groups that are part of the Voting Rights Act, we're able to look at the population numbers, broken down as we develop possible maps.
Yeah, because a lot of the immigrant populations that have came in and are still coming in are being located. I'm not exactly sure where. I have some idea. But, it'd be nice to have that picture so that, we get a broad understanding of what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well, and that's one of the interesting things as we've, been looking at these numbers. And Mr. Mansky talked about the deviation in each of the existing wards. And that growth in Ward 6 and Ward 7 is largely a result of immigrant populations, and especially in 6, Asian, and largely Hmong population that have moved in there. And so that is, something that we'll look at and try to understand how that has adjusted, and make sure that we're respecting those communities of interest, because that's really important. That's where, and Dave knows this 1,000 times better than I do, but where you run into problems with the Voting Rights Act or with a potential lawsuit is if you end up splitting up those communities. And so that's why it's really important as you go through this process to understand, what you're looking at, and that you're not, inadvertently dividing up some of those communities of interest that ought to be together.
I would just ask as kind of a follow-up, as we're trying to gather that information, a lot of it exists in the map. Is there additional information beyond something like this memo that you need from Ramsey County while we have the elections commissioner, your elections coordinator here, would love to ensure that we're connecting you for kind of what you need in the next steps of maps, and same for whatever resources or feedback you need from the city? Again, we're charged with drawing the ward boundaries, but we want to make sure that our input's included and that you have the tools as the folks who are doing that on our behalf to put the right maps in front of us to give feedback and make decisions. So I'm wondering if you guys have a sense of what else you need from the city or from the county as well as entities to gather the lists or data or other resources going forward.
I'll hand that to Dave.
Sure. The most important thing that we could get right now from you would be the new legislative districts passed by the state legislature in the form of a shapefile. If that could be sent to me as an ESRI shapefile, since we have to make sure, we want to make sure that the city's precincts match up with what the legislature has done, if you could give us that as a shapefile, that would be tremendously helpful.
Yeah, Mr. Allen, I think those are available on the Secretary of State's website, and I think our election coordinator can send it out as well. So we'll make sure that you get those files.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
Mr. Kirk.
Thank you, Mr. So as a follow-up to that, does that mean that Park Street has acquired all the necessary data and the software from the Charter Commission except for this shapefile?
Yes.
To meet your February. Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess I'm still, well, I'm a visual person, and I enjoy maps and looking at things and trying to grasp them. So I've got the ward map sitting in front of me on my computer and others. What access will we as commissioners be able to have, or how will we interact with the software or the feedback, or are we planning you presenting maps at a future meeting that are displayed electronically or things that we can interact with? I'm just trying to get a picture of what we're going to grapple with to provide feedback and make decisions.
Mr. Chairman, that's really your call as to how you would like to distribute maps. I'll be happy to send you maps, and you tell me the process that you would like to follow.
Yeah, I mean, essentially on the Ramsey County project, Dave draws some maps, put them into a PDF, send them around, people take a look at them, we get on a Zoom call, talk about them. So that's really how it's worked. It's $5,000 a license for Maptitude, so you probably don't all want to be drawing maps or have the budget to do that. And it's probably not really necessary. I mean, if you'd like to play around with maps, there's some free software, you know, that you can jump on and just kind of like, you know, sketch things out. I do that for fun because I'm a political nerd. But yeah, so that's, you know, typically that's how it's gone. And I think that, you know, as we look at this, right, that this will be, this upcoming week is kind of first crack at drawing some maps and then send it to you all. And then, you know, you're probably going to want to do the, you know, public hearing on this the following Friday, you know, March 11th. If the idea is to wrap some of this up, you know, March 14th and 15th, that's a Monday, Tuesday. So, you know, if your goal is to get some public feedback prior to, you know, actually wrap, you know, concluding a version that you, you know, share with the council for their input, maybe you reserve the right to make a few changes at that point, if you'd like, before they vote on the 23rd. I mean, realistically, that opportunity for public input is probably March 11th. And so whatever, you know, goal we would want to do, or, you know, contact back and forth between then to get to a map that you feel comfortable, you know, sharing publicly and talking through about why the Charter Commission is making these recommendations, that's probably where we're headed.
Well, and as we do our logistics of scheduling that out, I think that's one of the things before we leave this meeting is making a decision on how many public meetings. I think we're pretty constricted on what that is, and I think council provided guidance that our final vote as a body would be considered a public hearing as well. So if we do the 11th and the 16th as two public hearings, that may get us to a place of what our capacity is there. I think as well, but interested in others' thoughts on that too, Commissioner.
Just a follow-up question to that. So this is great. We'll start to see some maps, then, I'm presuming. And I guess my question is: is it possible to not just see the proposed or the conceptual ward map boundaries, but to see where certain other demographics, particularly for communities of interest, where they live and what the constituents of those wards are as a percentage or as a composition within each ward? Because that's kind of, I'd like to see the layered effect of the map as well.
Yeah, and Dave can describe that. I mean, that's really that the, you know, when you produce the new, you know, proposed lines and then do a run on what the populations are within each proposed ward, then, you know, it cranks out those numbers
great.
A file, and then you can kind of work through those. So, Dave, thoughts on that, or what, how you show the information embedded in those maps?
Well, I thought you said it exactly right, Brian. What we'll do is we will give you a map, and that map will come with a significant amount of demographic data showing you the percentage of African Americans or Asians or Native Americans in every one of the wards, and you can compare them and contrast them as you see fit.
Thank you.
And this is a question for folks from council. In the principles where there's a request or requirement to make maps available online, I'm wondering, you know, again, whether communicating that just directly to the members of this or whether we want to be utilizing that website, at what level, what maps are public versus which ones we want to have just shared internally, and then, you know, feedback from the other commissioners about, again, accessibility. I'm not making an assumption that a Dropbox or an email or all that is necessarily the right place, but so I'm trying to figure out where and how we should engage with those. So I guess my, again, long leading confusing question, but posting on the website is something that we can do for draft maps to share amongst ourselves, or is that something we should be looking at holding off posting until we have something more concrete?
That's really a question for the chair to decide. My own feeling is that it's always a good thing to invite public comment, to offer the public through your website an opportunity to submit any maps they have or any ideas they have about the remapping process. But generally, I would suggest that the members of the committee would want to feel comfortable with a map before it was posted for the general public to see.
That makes sense for me, at least for initial maps, and then as we go forward on the public hearing piece, posting those with advance notice. Commissioner Cohen, and then we'll go to Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. When Dave was mentioning about different ethnic groups, how many ethnic groups do you list?
That's a wonderful question, and the answer is that's not my determination. That's a determination that's made by the U.S. Census Department.
Okay.
We work with the data the Census Department gives us. So, for example, even though the city of St. Paul has a large Hmong population, we don't list Hmong people. We list Asian people because that's what's studied in the census.
Commissioner Varco, and we'll come back to Commissioner Montgomery.
Just a technical question. Mr. Mansky went to the trouble of preparing a couple of rough drafts. Do those rough drafts that I understood you have shared with the consultants, do they reflect the need to clean up the precincts to accommodate the legislative boundaries, the new legislative boundaries, or do those maps that you've submitted need to be cleaned up to reflect the newly drawn legislative boundaries?
The latter. Mine were I did those without.
Okay.
I knew where the legislative boundaries were, but I just used the existing, very close to the existing precinct boundaries, although I was working at the block level.
Okay. I will put this forward as a suggestion. I don't know what needs to be done to it. Obviously, I think the members of the committee would like to see the Mansky lease change draft as is. But then I think rather quickly, if the consultants could do the work of assigning divided precincts to existing precincts and showing us what that would look like, because I feel like that's going to have to be a natural starting place. Because we can't cross over legislative districts. So if that could be an early thing to come up with, obviously we're not going to luck out and have that solve our problem and adjust the ward numbers automatically, but maybe that'll get us some, it'll either make us closer or further apart.
Some of them, yep.
But it'll tell us where we have to go, I think. And I guess I'm just putting that out as a suggestion. I don't know how the work of the consultants will be directed, but I think the chair can handle that.
I think that makes sense, and I think Mr. Triplett was also going to make some available. So I, again, on the who's on first, who does what, figuring out. I don't want to waste either of your time and resources, as they're finite here, but figuring out what we can get to react to, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Any other questions? Commissioner Montgomery.
When you were talking about the different diversities, since I live in a ward that's heavily diverse, I've got one building with 3,000 Somalis in. You know, I've got 500 Karen. I mean, there's just, as I walk out my door, I see the United Nations, and I just want, you know, I'd like to have some data so I could figure out how this works.
Unfortunately, all we can give you is what the Census Department gives us.
But that's when, you know, when we come back with some maps for you to review, you'll see that reflected. And I think that's, again, that's where it's nice to have that census data information so that we make sure that we're being cognizant of those communities of interest and being smart about it. Again, I think that just based on the way the map is drawn right now, that we're probably in pretty good shape. Right, you look at it and you think about where those communities of interest live and how the wards are currently formed, it's not wildly off. So that's it, you know, it is that opportunity to make sure that, right, it's only every 10 years, so we want to make sure that we take this chance to really hone in on that and make sure people are being well represented. But you know, again, as you know, Commissioner Barco was saying, you start off with fix the tweaks, fix the lines to match the legislative districts, see where we're at then, and then go from that, and then run the map, look at the population numbers, and get a feel for how things are looking.
So looking pragmatically at our timeline, I'm trying to figure out when we next schedule getting together, what homework we need to take as commission members to bring back to that meeting, and what we should expect from our consultants and other folks at that timing. So, again, the good part is that our calendar is not too expansive, so I can't get lost in it too too much. But I think we're looking at next week, based on your timeline, again, the fourth being a challenging turnaround of initial precinct or ward maps. Do we want to set a different target date for that? I assume once we set that date, that'll dictate when we next get together, unless there's a need for you to hear from us before updated maps come forward. So I guess that's where I'm looking for some managing up from our consultants to say this is what we need by X timeline to manage out the project details.
Yeah, well, I'd say overall that just this conversation has given us that initial understanding of, you know, we know the priorities and the what's in the resolution from the city council, but also having this conversation gives us a sense of where to go. So I think that's extremely helpful to us. My question really is for Dave about, you know, we've said, you know, drawing some initial maps this week is going to be a bit of a stretch. So, you know, maybe, you know, with Dave, I'm curious if you think that if we all tried to come back, you know, a week from tomorrow, you know, on Friday the 4th, if that's realistic, or maybe if we give it over the weekend and we try to come back on, you know, Monday, March 7th, what's your sense, Dave, about what would be the right moment for us to kind of peg, you know, having another conversation?
I'm going to try to have everything to have a first round, first map for everybody to look at by – I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to say I'm going to try to have everything by March 3 so that hopefully by the 4th I can get feedback, spend the weekend incorporating that feedback, and come back with a revised map for everybody by, say, March 8.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Commissioner Olin.
Commissioner Freeman, Mr. Haller, if, for example,
we said March 3rd, and we had a meeting, would that be sort of like roll up your sleeves working meeting where you go through the stuff and we look at it and we apply our collective knowledge of the city of St. Paul and give you feedback? Is that a realistic approach to it? I'm just trying to figure out the mechanics of how to get this done.
It could be. Or it could be that I get you everything on March 3rd and individually the members of the committee respond back to me and to Brian with their comments within 24 hours. And I spend the weekend incorporating those comments and give you a revised map by March 8th that we could then meet and hopefully tweak or finalize.
Commissioner Barco.
Instead of waiting for the general will to emerge as a consensus, can I suggest that commission members give the chair their thoughts about schedule and dates that do or do not work, and that the chair work rapidly with the consultants to come up with a schedule?
Yeah, I think we can do that. I just don't expect that there's a whole lot of wiggle room once we start picking dates.
That's
so
why I'm happy to delegate the job.
Yeah, thank you. And it comes with a pay raise, right? The delegation as well.
And can you all just meet on Zoom? I mean, is that allowed under the Charter Commission?
That's something we need to ask council. We talked about this a little bit at our last meeting. We can meet on Zoom. We need to notice it. And the open meeting. So, Mr. Blank on your last name, Ian. Sorry.
Welsh.
Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Welsh, can you give us some guidance on, as we're operating in this timeline, what do we need to do to meet with Mr. Heller and Mr. McClung online? Are there ways that we can meet in different chunks to avoid problems? And what things do we need to notice to get the kind of work done?
Commissioner, my recollection is that if the chair considers it not feasible to meet in person because of the emergency, which in this case would be the local emergency, that the body can meet online. If you give me the opportunity, I could also research which notice requirements would apply to that. I can get back to you on that.
So it sounds like we can meet online rather than in person. And again, I think Mr. Heller probably will be joining us from Iowa most, if not all, of the time. So we're going to at least have a component on Zoom. So at least that might give us some flexibility if you can give us some direction there. I would start and just aim to lock in, and we can adjust it the 11th. Or the fourth as the next time that we'll meet. Plan on meeting in person, and then we'll work through the logistics of being able to meet on Zoom or other ways to meet folks' need. But at least get that locked on the calendar. And then I've heard thrown out March 11th and March 16th as dates. The 11th as a possible public hearing date, and then the 16th, I think, is a week out from when council needs to act, so that would be where we would aim to present something back. So I just want to get that on folks' calendars. I will work with the consultants and folks at the city to get everything scheduled properly, but I want you all to at least be able to put those on your calendars and give feedback. Commissioner Clark and then Commissioner Kerr.
Yeah, I'd prefer any time we can meet on Zoom to do so. I think that the public hearings we'd have to hear in person, but any other time we could meet on Zoom, that's what I'd prefer.
It sounds like we may have to be burdened by a public emergency to be able to justify that, and we still have one, I believe, in the city of St. Paul that we can function under. So, yeah, Mr. Kerr.
Go ahead, Mr. Heller. Sorry.
I was just going to say I would suggest maybe you'd rather meet on the 8th or the 9th rather than the 4th. I think the 4th, the drafts are going to be very preliminary. I feel more comfortable if I had a weekend to incorporate people's, thoughts and suggestions before we had a public meeting.
I think part of our challenge, Mr. Heller, is that all of us are juggling a number of things, and so the likelihood of spending as much time turning around something 24 hours without your insight to be able to navigate through and understand it, you may not get much that's meaningful from us. And so that's where I'm inclined to align with Mr. Alton's suggestion that it might be more of a working meeting or something in that frame, because I think we don't necessarily know what we don't know to be able to ask questions. But again, I think we can work out some of those details offline, and if the commission's comfortable delegating to me to work those pieces out, I'm happy to chat with you and Mr. McClung and others and figure that out.
I withdraw my question. This is the topic I was going to cover. Thank you.
So I thank you for that input, and let's aim for the 4th as a locked-in date. Let's also lock in the 8th, and then we can cancel one or figure out how we're going to meet between those two. So I don't know, Kristen, is that appropriate to do secure a physical meeting space on those two dates, and then we can cancel or transition to remote as we're allowed and able?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And then I'm interested as well in trying to figure out or at least start the conversation about what we need for our public hearing. And I'd be interested in what Park Street has done with Ramsey County as part of their public engagement. And then I'd be interested from the City Council's perspective, Sherry, if there's any update from the mayor's office or other resources from the city to assist us in ensuring promotion of that or recruitment or perspectives beyond the folks who normally track what the Charter Commission's doing, which is, I think, 14 old white people.
Correct. So Mr. Triplett could tell you more. We've had a couple of sessions for Ramsey County with community organizations, kind of identified groups that were interested in talking about redistricting and sharing their input. So that's not like a broadly advertised town hall meeting kind of situation, more like, yeah, these are the people that we know care and want to weigh in. And then we actually have a meeting scheduled for the start of the week to talk about what else they would like to do beyond that. So that hasn't been locked in, you know, in terms of, you know, how much, you know, kind of public input and what the public hearings will look like. And I think that's probably the same conversation you all will want to have, which is you want to make sure that the public has an opportunity to be engaged, to weigh in, to feel heard, while recognizing that, you know, we've got a tight turnaround.
And again, I'm interested. I know as we read the charter language, council provides some money for us to hire staff, prepare and redistricting plan. And I'm interested what resources, again, Ms. Moore, the council or the mayor's office can put forward to ensuring we get significant or appropriate input in those particularly the precinct boundaries and the ward boundary pieces as well. And if there's other conversations I should be having as chair or our council should be having to figure out so that we don't have a public meeting with six people in it.
Chair, I can't speak for the mayor's office. I mean, we can certainly approach them and ask. I do believe that at one point they had offered possibly the use of Claire. So whether that's still on the table or not, we would need to check with them. I can tell you that within the city council offices, we have a district council coordinator who I think we could ask her to reach out to the district councils to communicate anything that we wish to, you know, to have their opinions once we have some maps out or, you know, spread the word about public hearings, those things.
Is this something that falls under our existing Park Street contract as well? Is this something our consultants can help with too, or is that a separate piece?
I don't know. I think we'd have to take a look at that and see. You know, I think mostly the kind of what we outlined in the proposal and what we've been talking about are really focused on, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts of getting the redistricting done, you know, and especially under the budget level that you know we proposed here. So you know we can have that conversation though.
Yeah, I think again we're constricted by time and process in a way that I don't think any of the commissioners feel good about. And so at least the engagement that we're doing, we would like to have it be more than for show, and at least have some of those perspectives that we don't bring to the table, just as the 10 of us or the 14 of us on the council currently, or are we at 13 or 14? Either way. 13 there, and also, again, as I compare it to the work of the Ramsey County redistricting, I wouldn't compare the time spent looking at community needs and demographics and experiences of a council member or commissioner to the work that we do. We do come from a grassroots level, but we don't spend that time, you know, defining our districts or our areas, and so I do want to make sure the public has a chance to weigh in at least sufficiently in the two times that we're going to give them a chance. So,
Mr. Chair, if I could just add one thing when you were talking about emailing maps out to the group, and Mr. McClung had said, you know, then you could reply back to them. I would caution you to just reply back to them. Do not reply back to everyone, because then that would become a serial meeting and that would be an open meeting law violation. So you just we want to make sure that you're protected under that, because we can't help you if there's a violation. It's on you personally. It's not something that the city can fight or help you with. So we'll try our best to make sure that you stay in compliance with open meeting laws.
Good to know. We can talk at all the time about what the penalty for open meeting law violations are and how many wet noodle slashes I'll have on my back. But, yeah. Wondering, commissioners, I'm sensitive that we're running up on an end of a workday for the folks here as well, and I know that there's a significant amount of work going forward that we still have to do, but I'm wondering what else, or if there's anything else on our agenda today that we need answered or want to work on before we adjourn.
Yeah, Cheryl. Commissioner Freeman, the one thing I guess would be if we're focusing on having a public hearing on March 11th as a potential date, and we want to make sure we get out notice to the public, we ought to probably make that decision sooner rather than later. We ought not wait, for example, till a week from tomorrow and announce a public hearing. So if we do it today, we've got a couple of weeks that we can get the word out, and somebody can, Park Street Public or whomever else is going to help us with that. Kristen averted her eyes when I looked at her. we ought to do that, because again, I want to. People out there want to make comment on this. We want to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm comfortable if folks are comfortable voting today to determine the 11th as a date, and then we can delegate to staff and others to figure out the right timing and space.
I make a motion that we set March 11th as a public hearing date.
Second.
Your motion and a second. Any discussion?
A short discussion. I mean, it might be one meeting date, but is it possible if it is remote, we could do it with multiple constituents, like if we had this district council and that district council and so forth? Is it? I will vote for the date, of course, but is it possible that we could also make sure we talk to as many people as we can on that date?
You know, one thing with using the district councils, you know, I've been involved with them for a while, and the trouble with them is they only meet once a month, so trying to get a hold of them, they're a very useful tool. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but trying to get them when we're in this kind of, we need to put the word out. Definitely.
Yep.
We need to invite them.
But I'm not necessarily suggesting it be the district council, but
no,
that
I agree with
okay.
You.
Yep.
But it's just going to be a tough thing to try and get through at this time constraint.
Yep.
Mr. Welsh?
Chair, so point of clarification. When you're referencing a public hearing, are you referencing a meeting of the entire commission or just of the...
So I guess I would return a question to you, whether the Charter Commission requires that public hearings to be of the full Charter Commission, or whether it's sufficient that it be of the Charter Review Commission as they've been charged with this work. Because it's, I do see in our charter, every federal decennial census, the Charter Commission, after public hearings, shall redistrict. And I don't, I'd be interested in your interpretation on whether if we hold a public hearing as the Charter Review Commission, that is sufficient, or whether it needs to be called by Mr. Alton as the chair of the Charter Commission overall.
I'll take a look. I don't know what that practice is, and it's not entirely clear based on the language right now.
Just says public notice of said hearings is my read, but again, I that's why we pay you the big bucks.
I'm sure it's that trouble. I'm also saying that it's the majority of the entire membership required to actually do the redistricting.
So I think the 16th we would plan on that being a full Charter Commission meeting that includes a report from the Charter Review Commission, present maps and pass them, and Mr. Warner had explained that that meeting would also be considered a public hearing and because we would have public comment at, before we took any votes.
Sure, I appreciate the opportunity to get back to that.
Great. Thank you. And I don't have any qualms about giving up a Friday. I don't know if there's a perfect meeting date on any. I don't think that creates a problem as long as we're not meeting after dusk on a Friday for any particular constituency. So I'm comfortable with that. So I think any other discussion on moving that we set the 11th tentatively as our public hearing and then pending feedback from Mr. Welsh on legalities and such.
I move to call the question.
Move to call the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? And the measure passes. So we have set that as our public meeting date. I'm going to transfer a message to the chair of the Charter Commission that he should call the 16th as an additional date. And then, again, work with our staff. Plan on the 8th and 4th and the 8th as the two dates we'll have on the calendar, with the possibility that they might be remote or they might be canceled in favor of one or the other. And then we can figure out from those dates if there's additional follow-up after the 8th and before the 11th. Not a whole lot of time there for other feedback, so that would probably be either remote or individual feedback. So apologies, Commissioner Varco. We did do the calendar work here as a group. Any other business or questions before we welcome a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just make a comment about the discussion earlier about the at-large. Mm-hmm. I've lived through the at-large. I don't think I ever want to see it again.
Thank you for that.
Now would you move to adjourn?
Now would you move to adjourn?
I can't recognize you to adjourn.
That was my next thing.
Commissioner Unger moves to adjourn, second by Commissioner Varco. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And we're adjourned. Thank you.
Nice job.